5 o'clock. CKNW presents The World Today Weekend. Now, here is your host, Sean Leslie.
It's 3 degrees and cloudy in Vancouver. Coming up in the World Today Weekend, as BC Hydro gouging us or just doing needed repairs. The case for their big rate hike application. BC Hydro wants to increase your power rates by as much as 50% over the next 5 years to pay for infrastructure upgrades. That has the NDP crying foul, but my next guest is applauding the plan. David Field is co-spokesperson with the group BC Citizens for Green Energy. Hi, David. How are you today?
I'm very good. Thank you very much for having me on your show today.
Thanks for your time. I know you've been on before, but maybe just refresh our listeners. Who are the BC Citizens for Green Energy?
The BC Center for Green Energy is just an ad hoc organization that supports green renewable energy in British Columbia from whatever sector, whoever builds it, whether the public sector or the private sector.
You like power?
Sorry?
You like power?
Yeah, well, I do, yeah. I was raised on it. My dad worked for Ontario Hydro for 35 years. I grew up knowing all about electricity and how it was generated.
Very nice. I take it you're not really applauding a rate hike per se, David, but the plan to upgrade the infrastructure itself.
Well, yeah. If you take a look at the infrastructure of BC Hydro, some of the stuff was built back in the 1950s. And, in fact, one of the proposals, the Ruskin Dam, is it's 80 years old. And it's a target for an $800 million upgrade. It's an 80-year-old facility. And that's just one of a dozen such projects that BC Hydro is looking at doing over the next several years.
Yeah, I saw the pictures of that Ruskin Dam on the news the other night. I mean, that thing is, it just looks ancient. It's got moss everywhere. The concrete is crumbling. And I have an email from a listener I'll read out a little bit later on talking about how, you know what, the gates on that dam were leaking when I first saw it in 1953. So it hasn't gotten any better since then, obviously.
No, and that's what people have to be worried about is there's been a long period of neglect for a lot of the infrastructure, no matter where it is in British Columbia. And it was the same thing as a householder, buying a house and sitting for 40 years and not painting the outside, not replacing windows. They wouldn't do that for a house, so they should expect the same thing of BC Hydro, to be able to look after their facilities to deliver dependable electricity to them on a continual basis.
So is it fair to say that the infrastructure upgrades were really left too long, David? I mean, there's a little chart, actually, that Hydro put out as well that charts their capital investments over the years. And if you look at it and you go back to the 1990s, for instance, very little investment in capital. Since then, they've really ramped it up. But that was a long period where not a lot of money was put into the system.
That's exactly right. I'm looking at the exact same chart you're looking at. And from 1990 to about 2000, 2001,
yeah,
it averaged about $350 million per year. You have to also look at the rate increases that were done. There wasn't any rate increases. So essentially, BC Hydro didn't have the money available to contribute or to apply to the different infrastructure. So there's 10 years of neglect, but it only goes back to 1990. It doesn't have anything previous to that. So, you know, BC Hydro can only afford to do what it can afford to do. If the money doesn't get approved, they can't do anything. But since that time, it's been a steady increase. And if you take a look at the projection, and you've got it as well, they're spending upwards of, $2.5 billion per year to upgrade these 80 facilities.
Yeah, we have, everybody's proud of our power system here in BC, but it does take money to keep these things going, especially, as you say, when we're talking about infrastructure that is, in some cases, decades or even half a century old. But I got to ask you this, David Field, because, you know, when people hear that 50% rate hike, yeah, that's spread over a few years, but that's pretty steep. I mean, you know, we're talking about people who are already facing, you know, rising fuel costs and food costs, inflation's out there, MSP premiums going up. Is that not too much to ask the ratepayer to pay?
Well, I'll give you a perfect example and a comparison. If you take a look at the same structure, the same chart that you're looking at,
yeah,
you have to look down at the bottom right below that. It says BC Hydro electricity rate comparison. And Vancouver itself is the second lowest of any large city in North America. So Winnipeg is the only place that has cheap electricity, and they're using coal-fired electricity, which, as we all know, is a great emitter of GHG gases. So Vancouver always has had cheap electricity. But yet, there's another statistic that people aren't really aware of, and that is that British Columbia is the highest per capita user of electricity in North America. And that's shameful. So again, cheap electricity, wasteful electricity, and if people were to conserve more, then Hydro wouldn't, we wouldn't have to build new infrastructure. So what's going to encourage people to conserve electricity?
But 50% still, I just go back to that figure. And yes, I appreciate that, that the rates are low on a continental basis. We do pay fairly affordable power rates here in British Columbia, but 50%, that's a big hike.
Well, you take a look at other locales, and I'll give you a very good example. In Germany, they're paying 14 cents euro or 20 cents Canadian for 1 kilowatt of electricity. In BC, we pay 6.5 cents for 1 kilowatt of electricity, so one-third the cost. So, yeah, if you take a look at the rate structure, now, true, BC Hydro went to a two-tier rate, and I looked at my bill for 1 month, for 2 months, and I thought there was a mistake. It was $36. And I was used to paying $50. I thought, there must be a mistake. Maybe they're just billing me for 1 month. So my cost actually went down when they went to a two-tier system. So I would gratefully pay back up to $50 for 2 months to make sure that there is a continual source of electricity 10, 20, 30 years down the road.
I've had the opposite experience, I have to say, with a two-tiered. I live in Vancouver Island, though. I don't know if that makes a difference. But when that came in, I saw our power bills really spiked there. But you're saying that that's, in a way, that's a good thing because it's theoretically encourages conservation.
Absolutely. People have to take a look at what they can do to conserve electricity. They can turn essential items off that they're not using. They can replace their lights and use more cost-effective and more efficient lighting.
Most people have already done that stuff, though, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, some people have, yeah. A friend of mine, he went and put brand-new windows all the way around his house. He had it surveyed. He plugged up all the leaks. He put double-glazed windows on there, and he cut down his fuel costs dramatically. But it took money to do that, but he's going to save money over the long run.
Yeah, but, you know, a senior on fixed income isn't going to be able to do that. They're not going to be able to go retrofit their house and make investments to make it energy efficient. They're going to be hit with a hydro bill that just keeps on going up.
That's true, but it will force people to conserve. The other thing you have to look at is what BC Hydro is going to be doing over the next few years. Is they're going to be replacing all the meters on households. So they're going to be going to smart meters. And this will allow people to monitor on a continual basis, almost on an hourly basis, what their fuel consumption is. So you don't run the stove, you don't run the dryer, you don't run multiple items all at the same time. So you spread those out, and also you take and you run those things at off-peak hours. So again, you pay different rates at different times of the day. So by doing that, by distributing what your load is over various times of the day, you can actually save money.
So that you support the smart meter program, because this is a billion-dollar program right there that I assume part of this rate increase is to help pay for.
That's part of it, yes, but if you take a look at what other countries are doing, they're doing exactly the same thing. And this will allow people to also to be able to control, because essentially what it is, it's a smart meter. It will also allow people to be able to turn things on and off. They will be able to turn the furnace off 15 minutes before they arrive home for people who don't have automatic systems. So it will allow people to be able to better monitor their fuel consumption and to help them actually conserve energy. And that's what BC Hydro is actually trying to do. They're also going to put in smart grid systems. And the other thing that the smart meters are going to do is they will detect in local communities what the total usage is and then be able to look at what each household is using. So they're going to detect if there's people that are actually stealing electricity. They said that BC Hydro said they're losing about $100 million a year in stolen electricity in British Columbia. That's a lot of money.
$100 million? I hadn't heard that figure. They're losing $100 million in power theft?
Well, it's not, yeah.
Wow.
It's not just grow-ups. It's other people, people that operate businesses that have welding machines. They have shops in their, and well, it's easy to bypass just for a little bit of electricity, but that's electricity that is stolen that's not being paid for. So they can identify, they can say, this neighborhood is consuming a total of, 100 kilowatts of energy. But when you add up each individual household, there's actually 150. Well, where's that other 50 kilowatts? Where's it going? They'll actually be able to track it down and isolate it. So this will be a tool that BC Hydro can use to determine who's stealing electricity and get people to pay for it.
David, stand by. It's fascinating. I appreciate you pointing that out. David Field is with the group BC Citizens for Green Energy. I'll take a break, but I do welcome your calls. Do you support, I mean, how would you feel if the BCUC approves this proposal to spend $6 billion on upgrades with the impact on you of a possible 50% increase in your power bill? Do you mind paying that much more to maintain our excellent power system, or do you think that there should be some kind of other solution? If so, what? Where, I mean, they've got to find the money somewhere if they don't want these dams to basically dissolve away. So how do they pay for it? Give us a call, 604-280-9898, *9898 on your cell phone. The long-distance toll-free line is 1-877-399-9898. We'll be back on CKNW News Talk 980. My guest is David Field. He's with the group BC Citizens for Green Energy. The issue, BC Hydro's plan to spend $6 billion on upgrades over the next few years, corresponding with a rate hike of up to 50%. A lot of people want to speak to this. No surprise there. 604-280-9898 on the open lines. Yoram in Vancouver. Hi, Yoram. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Sean. Hi, David. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I called up earlier on the John McComb show, earlier this week. Three things. One is smart meters are not proven to be the be-all and end-all. Criminals can bypass them. It's radio frequency technology, which the criminals can bypass. We already know that. Number two is we should be spending $1 billion instead of on smart meters. If you really want green energy, solar and wind. And to heck with everybody that says about wind technology should be where it is, and solar. We have lots of sunshine here. And the third thing is the infrastructure upgrades, if they're truly for expanding mining up north, then the mining company should be kicking in some money.
Yeah, good. Good points, Yoram. I'll put those to David. That last one's interesting because he's talking about the Northwest Transmission Line. That's one of the projects that that is in the $6 billion envelope, David Field. And, there's not a lot of people up in that part of the province, the Northwest. This is seen by some as basically a subsidy to the mining industry. So why should ratepayers pay for that?
Well, I'll answer that in two phases. One is that the proposal is for that to connect from the Northwest to the Northeast. A lot of people aren't aware that the northeast sector of British Columbia isn't even connected to the BC Hydro grid. It's run by diesel and it's fed from Alberta. But yet BC Hydro has to subsidize it because it's within the boundaries of British Columbia. So they're paying upwards of $1 per liter, and by the time electricity gets to the source, they're paying $1 per kilowatt hour. That's 15 times what you pay in the lower mainland. So that's a huge increase, and BC Hydro says so. Ratepayers are subsidizing the northeast sector of British Columbia for their high costs. They're using diesel to back it up. So, yes, we need to tie in the northeast sector of British Columbia. It's also restricting expansion. They would like to expand more, but there's simply no more capacity in the energy system. So we are restricting expansion right across from Prince Rupert all the way up to Fort Nelson.
All right, let's go to Jean in Maple Ridge on the open lines. Jean, hi.
Hi, good afternoon to both of you. I just wonder with these smart meters, are they not computerized?
Yes, they are. David, yeah.
Are you asking me? Yeah, smart meters, yes, they are. Yeah, they're computerized. You can access them. You can access them remotely. They're tied in. You can tie them into your BlackBerry. You can tie them in from home. So you can actually see from your workplace, and again, it's secure. You can actually see what your power usage is while you're sitting in the office.
Gene, is there more? Okay. Let's go to Craig in Surrey. Craig, hi.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to reiterate the one thing about the solar possibly. The wind power, I understand that you're about 40 bats die because the wind decompression of their lungs that explode from the wind when the pressure changes. So I'm not too sure on the wind power, although it may be out in the ocean. What I really called about is the smart meters. Presently, we pay $25 for a meter that lasts 40 years. The smart meters are going to cost $100. I'd like to know who has a contract. I'd like to know if Gordon Campbell is going to be a board director one day, possibly. They're going to cost $100 per meter, have to be replaced every 10 years. So presently we're at $25 every 40 years, and we're moving to $100 every 10 years.
Craig, though, is that, and I appreciate what you're saying there, but is that not offset by the potential for greater energy savings that David was talking about?
Well, as was pointed out on John McComb's show the other day, there is no potential savings in energy. We're going to use the same amount of energy. We're just going to use it during the day, and they'll ding us high, or use it at night, and they'll ding us low. And as you mentioned, we've already changed our light bulbs. We've got energy-saving appliances. I know my wife and I do. We've got everything we can. I've looked around the house when you were talking. I thought, what can I turn off right now? We've got one living room light on. I'm on the computer and on the phone, and the TV is being watched. You know, like, I don't know what we could turn on. So, yeah.
Okay, David Field.
We ding like crazy.
Yeah, David Field.
I'd love to address that. One thing that smart metering will be able to do that the current technology, the meters, will not do. It will allow BC Hydro to know whether energy is coming in or going out. This will allow people that want to put a solar panel up, put a small wind generator up, put batteries in their house, and to be able to live basically more off the grid, or be able to supply electricity back to the grid with electric car that's plugged in. It can actually be used as a battery storage device. But currently, if you wanted to know what the electricity is going out, you'd have to put in a second meter. It's called net metering. There's buildings that are being planned to be installed downtown, and they actually want to do that. They want to be able to put in battery storage in. They want to actually be able to put in solar panels, and they actually feed energy back into the grid. The current technology will not allow that. So with a smart meter, it would. It can tell that the electricity is going into the household or back out of it.
Who is this?
You actually get paid for it. You can actually get paid by BC Hydro to feed energy to the grid if you're using generating more than you're using.
Which they do widespread across Europe. Who has the contract for the smart meters, by the way? Have they picked a supplier?
Me? No, actually, I don't have.
You don't know that? Okay, no problem. I think that's a great question that Craig raised, though. Let's go to Mitty in Victoria. Mitty, hi.
Good afternoon. I think this is another corporate front group, phony environmental citizen group. It's masquerading as a citizen group, but it's really pushing the corporate agenda here. The so-called run-of-the-river project, we are going to buy those energy three times of the market price, and they are pushing the price of energy higher up in order to justify those prices that we are going to pay to the green so-called run-of-the-river project. This is not an environmental group. This is a phony group set up by the corporation, and I'd like to know who is funding them. If they are in citizen group, let's put all their funding in their website so we know who is funding them.
Yeah, David Field, can you answer that, please? You a corporate front group?
I think I've heard that thing at least 10 or 20 times. I'm not funded by anybody. I have a job. Who funds me? We do this because we're interested in the environment. I'll give you a really good point about that. The amount of electricity produced by the independent power producers, IPPs, is 4% of the total electricity generated in BC. Another 5% is generated by Fortis BC, which now owns Terrison Gas,
yep,
by Alcan, and by Tech Kineco. So they supply 5%. So BC Hydro supplies only 90% of electricity, but the IPP sector, 4% of the total. So, you know, it's 90 to 5. That, and again, any new projects that are built by BC Hydro is going to be the same or more. Site C Dam, Aberfeldy, the upgrades, by the time they get done, the electricity will be equal to or greater than what an IPP can build it and produce it for.
Let's go to Ed in Seashell. Ed, you're going to get the last word. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My concern is that when all this money comes in, it will be siphoned off by whatever government is in power and just used as a cash cow, like very much like ICBC would. You know, and I don't mind paying more for power. I'm in a lucky position where I don't give a damn whether it's 10% increase, 50% increase. I can handle it. So I'd like to hear, can we protect the money that goes into these projects actually goes there as opposed to being siphoned off?
Great one to finish on, Ed. I think a lot of people are on that same page. My thanks to David Field with the BC Citizens for Green Energy. We'll have to break for the news.
KW News Talk 980.